Thanks for tuning into the Let's Get Ready Network, the place for coverage of all the things you love. On this feed, we cover movies, TV, video games, and more. If you're interested in supporting the network, you can do so on our Patreon at patreon.com/LGR_network. And please leave a rating and a review of this episode. Enjoy the show, everyone.
Screen
because someone forgot that I picked the wrong thumbnail on, and
I didn't put the thumbnail in here.
We forgot to put the thumbnail in here. There it is.
That's okay. We start the show.
Show has been started. We're rocking and rolling. Welcome everyone to a new edition of The Open Table. I am your host, Aris Mudana. And with me always is my right-hand person, the Goose to my Maverick, the Jamal to my Nicola, the one, the only, Adelia Chamberlain. Adelia, how are you?
I'm great, Paris. Merry Yokemus.
Merry Yokemus to you, Adelia. Merry Yokemus.
Yeah, cheers. Cheers, Merry Yokemus to all the basketball fans in the audience. It's the 7-year anniversary of Nikola Jokic's first NBA game.
Yes. Speaking of NBA, the New York Knicks are playing as we speak. They're against the Phoenix Suns, so we'll see if we win that game. Because, you know, it's the Suns and they have Kevin Durant and we're the Knicks. So,
yeah, but it's the Suns. They don't matter.
Yeah, I know. They're good-ish, I think.
Nah.
Yeah? Okay.
Nah.
Okay.
They have that front three, or big three, of Booker, Durant, and Beal, and have they played together once?
No, I think, yes, they have. Last game. This is their second game. And I believe Bradley Beal is already hurt again. So sounds about right.
Yeah, sounds about right.
But guys, you see us. We're dressed not in our debonair dandies. We're dressed in sports attire. Apparel, sports apparel.
I think you tried to say apparel and attire at the same time.
Yeah, I think I did. Sports attire, sports apparel, whatever word you choose. I am wearing my Seattle Kraken jersey because last night the Seattle Kraken took the Blackhawks to the woodshed. 7-1. Kraken.
Nice.
And you know what? It makes me mad so much because let me tell you something today.
Okay.
I watched the Kraken. We lose 2-1. I don't watch the Kraken. We win 9-3 or 7-1. So am I not allowed to watch my team? You know what I did a couple days ago? I turned the Kraken game on. It was about a minute left in the fourth quarter. It was 4-4.
Fourth quarter of a hockey game?
Third period. 1 minute in the third period. I apologize. We were against Tampa Bay on the road.
Mm-hmm.
We go to overtime and we lose. So I've only watched the losses. I have not actually seen a win. I have not seen a win all year, but I know we've won because I remember the 9-3 game. I remember the 7-1 game last night. We're a goodish team. But every time I put them on, we're the worst team in the league. So I made an effort. I will never watch them ever. Never watch them. And watch us win a Stanley Cup. And I can't be joyous.
Yeah, you can be joyous.
Yeah.
You can be joyous.
Yeah, but you know. It's hockey. It's random.
It
so
is random. It's very random.
Yeah, one time in 1980... plucky upstart team from the United States of America with a bunch of college kids and nobodies beat the almighty Soviet Union. Gold medalist in 1960, 64, 68, 72, and 76. But they couldn't do it in 1980. And the reason I brought that up is that we also be reviewing Miracle on the channel because one of us has never seen it. And yes, yes, it's Adelia. I'm kidding. It's not Adelia.
No, it's not.
It's not Adelia.
You got that wrong, by the way.
Why?
Because the Russians or the Soviets didn't win the 1960 Olympic gold medal. The Americans did.
So the movie lied to me.
No, the movie didn't lie to you.
Well, one of the announcers,
Brooks, the coach of the Miracle on Ice team, was on the 1960. Was the last person cut from the 1960 team.
Well, I think the audio they used from Al Michaels and Ken Dryden, one of them said they've been gold medalists since 1960. So I think the actual audio in real life they messed up.
But it could also mean since 1960 because they won everyone after 1960 until 1980.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But we'll get to that. But first, we're doing a top five, our best sports movies of all time.
Yep.
So without further ado, everyone.
Well, first, I'm wearing my Nikola Jokic jersey because it's Jokmas.
Yeah, yes, it's Jokmas.
And I don't ever get to watch the Denver Nuggets anymore because I don't get the channel they're on anymore. So unless they're on national TV, I don't get altitude anymore. So unless they're on national TV, I don't get to watch them. So I sort of feel the same way about the Nuggets as you do about the Kraken.
But you're actually a good team that has a championship to their name.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah. My team ain't done nothing.
Your team knocked out the Avalanche last year in the playoffs. That was a good first playoff series for you guys.
That's a good point. All right. Dill, you want to do this?
Do you want to
alternate 5-5-4-4?
Yes.
All right.
Let's start with our honorable mentions.
So just do all your honorable mentions.
Okay. My honorable mentions are King Richard, Major League, Invictus, Battle of the Sexes, and the documentary Strokes of Genius, which I cannot recommend highly enough. It's the documentary about the 2008 Wimbledon final between Federer and Nadal, which Nadal won for the first time. So, cannot recommend that documentary highly enough. Ferris, what are your honorable mentions?
My honorable mentions are Rocky, Blue Chips, and my favorite horse, Secretariat. The greatest athlete of all time. Shout out to you, Secretariat.
That's a take.
Well, damn right it's a take. Damn right. But now, let's do this, Adelia.
Number five. My number five is Hoosiers.
Hoosiers.
I had to watch this movie in high school, and I thought, what is this movie? And I wasn't going to like it. And then I really enjoyed it. Basketball movie, Gene Hackman. Barbara Hershey's in it, I believe. Mm-hmm. And Dennis Hopper, of course, as the town drunk.
Of course.
I really enjoyed this movie. It's probably my favorite of the basketball movies that I've seen, which granted are not a ton. Small town Indiana high school team trying to win a state championship is sort of kind of based a little on a true story.
It is. And I'll tell you why I hate this movie. It's because of the true story.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the case with all things. The true story is really good. And then they make a movie and they change the true story.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons I don't have Friday Night Lights on this list.
I've never seen Friday Night Lights.
That's a good movie until you get to the end when they become slightly racist.
I mean, good point.
And they lie about history, which is also crazy.
Yeah. But it's dramatization. It's not the actual true story. Which you have to realize about everything that they say is a true story in a film is that it's actually a dramatization and it's not accurate.
So I found out. So when they say based on a true story, it's minimum, it's 25% real. Minimum. Inspired by a true story, it's all fake. It's rarely ever true. Like two of my movies.
Let's see. Dennis Hopper got an Oscar nomination for this, and I thought he was really, really good in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry Goldsmith was also nominated for the score, and I think the score is really good in this movie. Mm-hmm. So,
shout out to you, Jimmy Chitwood.
Yeah.
Jimmy, so Adelia,
your number five.
So Adelia, actually, the fun fact was, so the black team they face in this movie,
mm-hmm,
is based on Oscar Robinson's high school that had back to back state titles and went undefeated the year prior. And the team they're against is actually Oscar Robertson's team. Indianapolis Central. And they won the state title, I think, 2 years in a row. And the city was like, you usually get a parade to downtown if you win a state title in Indiana. Because basketball is life in Indiana. It's not football. It's basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And Oscar Robinson's team won those state titles, and they said, nope, you're not getting no parade. And they're like, why? Because you're black.
I mean, yeah, that sounds right for that time period.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
Yep. But my number five.
Your number five.
What the? It's Karate Kid, baby.
I have Karate never Kid. Seen this.
Oh, my. You're un-American.
I'm un-American?
Oh, my God. This was actually the first movie first sports movie I ever watched and I fell in love with is The Karate Kid. Fun fact about this movie, the theme song, you're the best around, never gonna turn it down, and you're the best
around. Stop before you get us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That song was actually supposed to be in Rocky.
Okay.
And Eye of the Tiger was supposed to be in this movie. So I believe, because Eye of the Tiger is in Rocky 3. So they made this song, You're the Best, they made it for Rocky. But Rocky didn't want, they made Eye of the Tiger for Karate Kid. You know, but because they were done by the same producer, he said, I don't want that song. I want You're the Best for The Karate Kid. So the Eye of the Tiger was free and they used it for Rocky 3.
Okay.
Which is fun. It brought us Ralph Macchio. Shout out to William Zabka. Pat Morita. Elizabeth Shue. Icons in the game. Zabka, Morita. Macchio. Macchio was from The Outsiders. Stay fresh, Pony Boy. Stay fresh. I don't think that's the line. But I got the Pony Boy part right. Yeah. Stay gold, Pony Boy. Stay gold. There it is. Elizabeth Shue, star of the Boys. But she died. So I won't be watching. And Pat Morita, God rest his soul. It spawned one of the greatest spinoffs in TV history, Cobra Kai. I quite enjoy it. It's a bit cheesy, and I love it. It's the right amount of cheese. Not too much cheese. A good amount of cheese on my nachos. So there's that. And growing up, I wanted to learn karate growing up. You know what I mean? Everyone did the flying crane kick. I love it. You know? Yeah, Sean. Yeah. Also, you're the best around. Solid candidate for the new national anthem. Hell yeah. We need a new national anthem. Because our current national anthem is not a good song. I want a bop. I want like America the Beautiful by Ray Charles. You know what I mean? You know, like
as I say to you often, Ferris, like you can make it America the Beautiful, but it's never going to sound like Ray Charles singing it because they will never play the Ray Charles version. They'll get someone to come in and butcher it.
I know. But Karate Kid. Karate is a sport. Martial arts, baby. You know what it is. Man. You're number four, Adelia.
My number four is Bend It Like Beckham.
That's
what?
That's a choice.
It is a choice.
Yeah.
This is a movie I watched prior to me becoming a rabid football fan. So I don't know if this movie had anything to do with it or not. It was Parmen de Negra, Keira Knightley, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. It's not a typical sports movie by any stretch of the imagination.
No, it's not, no.
But production was collaborated on this movie with the Football Association. So they had a lot of input on the game and how it's was portrayed in the movie. And I just enjoy it. It's one of those movies that I can watch anytime and it doesn't give me, you know, like a ton of anxiety or anything. It's like a chill out movie. Like, I just need something, a comfort watch, if you will.
Mm-hmm. You ever heard of the Keira Knightley song?
The Keira Knightley song?
Yeah.
No.
What's that? I had crazy, funky, junky, overslept. Hair is slightly. Trying to look like Keira Knightley. We been there. We done that. We see right through your funky head.
I don't know what that is.
That's Selena Gomez from Wizards of Waverly Place. I think I just outed myself as a Wizards of as a Disney child.
I haven't watched the Disney Channel in probably 25 years. So
yeah, on my radio show, I was supposed to review Disney Channel original movies. Mm-hmm. I never got to it because I only had an hour in my show.
Yeah.
So I couldn't do it. But next year.
Next year.
Next year. Be on the lookout.
Okay, Ferris, what is your number four?
My number four. I don't remember. Hit me. Cool Runnings, baby. Speaking of a movie inspired by a story.
Mm-hmm.
It was real. Yeah, it's a great movie. It's real-ish. The concept of Jamaica making a bobsled team is true. That did happen. They're actually one of the most famous bobsledding teams in the world because Jamaica bobsledding, it don't snow there. So everyone was kind of, you know, running about it.
Last time we had the Olympics, I was watching a Jamaican bobsled team. So
yeah, because I believe the women made it. Not the men, the women made it.
I think the women made it, yeah.
It was the women who made it. And they actually, so they fired their coach. The Federation fired their coach who owned their bobsled. So the Jamaican women had no bobsled. So a bobsled was donated to them across the world. Which in this movie, a bobsled was donated to them by the United States Federation because their coach, Irv Blitzer.
Blitzer is someone very different.
Yes, Irv Blitzer. He was accused of cheating and he was a pariah. So I don't know if that's true or not. But the fakeness part of the movie is no one actually hated them when they showed up to the Winter Olympics. They're actually like, hey, yo, what's up with the Jamaicans? How y'all doing? They're actually very friendly. So they never actually had an enemy. But there are a couple of scenes that really are powerful in the spirit of being who you are and being within your own identity, right? It was Junior, Yul Brynner telling Junior to look in the mirror and tell him who they are. And, you know, it's the famous scene. It's like, you know, what do you see? You're a bad mother lover who don't take nothing from no one. And you, I don't remember the line, but it was a great line. And showing his evolution to basically standing up for himself and being a man in the eye of his father, because his father saw him as a boy and he grew up in very rare eyes. But then there's a time where the main character played by Leon, whose name is Darius, was trying to not be Jamaican. He was trying to be like the Swiss. Let's be like the Swiss. He would do mannerisms like the Swiss. And him and the, you know, Junior, Yul, and Sanka, they got into an argument, you know? Mm-hmm. And then where he like insults Sanka, who's the best push cart derby champion in all of Jamaica. And he said, but then he said, listen, Darius, the best we can be is ourselves. And ourselves is Jamaican. So we need to be Jamaican. We cannot be frauds in this. To be successful, we need to be ourselves. And it was a great scene of identity and being comfortable within yourself and not trying to copy or portray another image. You know what I mean? So it's an amazing movie for identity, fighting back. And when I first initially watched it, I never knew the actual story, right? So I was like, yo, man, did they? And in that last run, they encapsulate the tension, the energy. And then when they crash out at the end, your heart gets ripped out of your body. And they flow back.
It's a phenomenal movie.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love Cool Runnings. I may watch it tonight.
I haven't watched it in so long. I really should watch it again.
You should watch it.
Yeah.
All right. Delia, your number three.
My number three is A League of Their Own. The All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. Tom Hanks, Gina Davis, Madonna, Lori Petty, Rosie O'Donnell, John Lovitz. Like, so many great actors in this movie. It's a phenomenal movie. And it's one of these ones that I saw when I was growing up. And I was never a baseball fan. This movie made me a baseball fan. The Colorado Rockies have made me not a baseball fan anymore, because they're just so bad. But this movie came out like a couple of years before the Rockies sort of came to town. And I got real excited when we got a baseball team because of this movie. I love this movie so much.
I did actually on this channel. If you look back, Ferris's first time watchers, I know we've been kind of lacking on that lately. But I reacted to The League of Our Own. First time ever watching. We may need to get back to that.
Yeah.
We'll
get back around to that in 2024.
Yeah.
I fell off my watch alongs this year too, Ferris. Yeah. It's okay.
So I actually reacted to this movie. Our friend Jess, she said I reminded her of someone in that movie. And apparently it was John Lovitz. And you know what? I never want to be compared to that man ever again, because that man is a horrible person.
He wasn't that bad.
I'm talking about also in real life.
Well, that too.
Yeah. So there's that. But yeah, shout out to Madonna.
This movie is in the Library of Congress now.
That's
part of the National Film Registry.
That's amazing. I don't know why, but that's amazing. Do they always give like a reason?
It says it's because for its preservation in the United States National Film Registry as culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant. So I would say culturally and historically.
To preserve Madonna's. Yeah, cool with that.
I mean, I wouldn't say to preserve just Madonna.
Hey, calm it down. Shout out to Madonna.
I love Madonna, Ferris.
I love Madonna too. I didn't know that was Madonna. I was like, yo, that's Madonna.
You did not know that was Madonna.
That can't be Madonna. And I was like, damn, how you doing, Madonna? All right, enough of me drooling over Madonna. My number three, Creed. One of the best boxing films on planet Earth. I'm a big fan of the Rockies. I love all the Rockies. Rocky, you know, I like Rocky. It was my honorable mention. But I don't know, man. I just love Creed, man. Shout out to Michael B. Jordan. Shout out to Ryan Coogler, Bay Area native Ryan Coogler, man. All love for him. With me, every single time is when I ever talk to an athlete, I use Ryan Coogler as an example because people don't know this. So Ryan Coogler had a full ride scholarship to play football at Sacramento State. And he did. He played 4 years of football at Sacramento State, and then he transferred to USC on a film scholarship because he wanted to do film. And you know what? Going to USC film school is kind of it's a badge that really helps a lot of people. John Singleton went there. A lot of great directors and writers have been through USC. And the thing is, you know, he used sports to live out his dream, you know? And that's why I'm a big, that's who we should always highlight. People like Ryan Coogler, because he used sports. Sports didn't use him. Yeah. And now you're talking about director of two of the biggest Marvel movies of all time. One of the greatest boxing movie of all time. He produced Judas and the Black Messiah. He made
Fruitvale Station.
Fruitvale Station was the movie that put him on the map. He's the man. You say Ryan Coogler is making this movie, I'm in the theater. You can say, oh, Ryan Coogler produced a 2-hour movie of a man painting a wall. I'm like, you know what? I'll be there. And he's amazing. And this movie's amazing because, you know, Michael B. Jordan, man, people talk a lot about his acting ability and how he's regressed. His best acting role is Wallace. He's pretty dang good as Adonis Creed or Adonis Johnson, you know, in these movies. He's tremendous.
And there's Tessa Thompson plays his girlfriend, right?
Yes, Tessa Thompson plays his girlfriend. She's dealing with her own problems. She has a degenerative ear condition where she's losing her hearing. She's losing her hearing over the years, and it's hereditary. Then if you watch number three, you'll know more about that. It's just a great movie, man. It reintroduced Rocky in the sense. It was a great reintroduction. The use of Rocky was great. I love the scene where he's about to stop the movie. You stop the fight. You're getting beat down. You gotta stop the fight. And he tells Rocky, no. I gotta do this. I gotta prove it. It's like, what do you gotta prove? That I'm not a mistake. And it's just, I just tore my soul.
This is another franchise that I've never seen any of. I've never seen a Rocky film. I've never seen one of the Creed films. But I should watch them. Yeah. I've heard they're very good.
Pretty good. I like them. They're pretty dang good. I think one is still the best. I think two and three. One, two, and three of you know, the way I've seen it.
Are you talking about Rocky or Creed?
Creed.
Thank you.
But two and three, they swap on occasion. But one is still number one.
One's the only one Coogler directed, right?
One is the only one Coogler directed, yes.
Okay.
Yes. All right. Adelia.
My number two. Jerry Maguire.
The worst Creed movie is the one with Kid Rock in the strip club. What does that mean?
I don't know what that means, Sean.
Are you talking about like the band Creed? Jerry Maguire, Adelia. What a great choice.
Jerry Maguire.
One of the greatest rom-coms of all time.
It is one of the greatest rom-coms of all time. Tom Cruise at his most...
Tom Cruisiness.
Tom Cruisiness. Renee Zellweger is phenomenal in this movie. What's the name of the kid?
Lipnicki.
Jonathan Lipnicki. Cuba Gooding Jr. won an Oscar for this. Mm-hmm. Just really, really phenomenal. So many quotable lines. Show me the money. You had me at hello. Just great, great, great movie. Help me help you. That scene where after Tom Cruise has been let go from the agency and he's trying to keep his clients and he gets to keep Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character as a client because he's screaming, show me the money.
Mm-hmm.
It's just phenomenal.
Say it. I can't hear you. Say it. Show me the money.
Cameron Crowe. When Cameron Crowe was good,
mm-hmm,
as a director. I don't think he's necessarily a very good director anymore.
How many movies is he directed? All I know is this one and Almost Famous.
He also directed Elizabethtown with Kirsten Dunst and Orlando Bloom. That is awful.
I've never seen
it. There's some other not ones. Sean chimes in. The lead singer of Creed got caught on a sex tape with Kid Rock and four women.
Wow, Sean. Yeah, that is the worst Creed film.
I would think so.
I would agree.
Jerry Maguire, one of my favorites.
Love Jerry Maguire. I love, you know what, man? Tom Cruise, he makes me question stuff.
What do you mean?
You know, can you separate the art from the artist type things?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think with movies you can, because movies are a big production. You know what I mean? You know, you have the writers, the directors, the photographers and all that jazz. I think with music it's very hard because musicians always play the, I put a piece of myself in this music.
Yeah.
And personally, I don't want a piece of you because you're you're a scumbag, R. Kelly. I don't want that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to, you know, so like,
let's not bring him up anymore.
Yeah. So like with the movies, I think it's much easier because of the production team aspect. So man, somebody's top man, he is so damn good, man. When you look up the word movie star, like, yo, that's a movie star.
He's one of the few movie stars we have left.
Yeah. He is a living, breathing symbol of icon and iconism. And you know what? Lately he did something that kind of makes me wonder how bad of a person he really is. You know? Oh, he did something very good. Very chivalrous, very nice for someone in the industry who was being bombarded and blacklisted, and he helped prevent that. So yeah, shout out to Tom Cruise. But you still make me question things, Tom Cruise. But I will be in the seat for the next Mission Impossible movie, because I love Mission Impossible.
Is that the last one?
No. There's part two coming up, I think, next year.
Dead no, Reckoning. I'm saying the next Mission Impossible movie, is that the last one?
Apparently, maybe, I don't know. But you know, if he wants to make another three, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Because okay, there's your number two.
My number two. I forgot. What was my, Moneyball. Yes, it, Moneyball. Oh my god,
on
Moneyball.
The screen, Ferris.
Oh my god, Moneyball. Oh, you want to talk about one of the greatest movies of all time. Yo, this movie is amazing. Because one, it's about the Oakland A's, and the Oakland A's are my local baseball one of two local baseball teams in the region. I say it all the time. If I was not a New York Yankees fan, I would be an Oakland A's fan through and through. Because growing up, they were cooler, they were slicker, they just had more panache and love about them. A bit weird. Like they Oakland A's fans are my type of people. You know what I mean? I love them. Seeing them being robbed of their team breaks my heart and disgusts me. But this movie is amazing. It's a movie about how a man decided to say F you to the establishment. Because baseball is very establishment based. They have a way of doing things. We've been doing this for hundreds of years. We do it this way, this way, this way. And Billy Bean said, let's not anymore, because it's not working. It's not working because our owner wants to be a cheap ass. Mm-hmm. So we can't do it. We can't beat teams like, you know, the Yankees, the Twins, because the way we do it can't work. And the way they did business was the great equalizer to those big budget teams, because they would find gems and they would buy runs in games. And Billy Bean famously said, it works over 162 games. It works. But in baseball, when you get to the playoffs, games get shrunk and the best play the best, and you can't moneyball your way out of it. And it always failed, because that's what happened. And then over time, the way they did business was adapted by teams with bigger budgets, and they started winning more. You know, the Boston Red Sox did that. The Tampa Bay Rays still do that, but they've never won anything. But they've made the World Series more than once. So they did something the A's never did. And it's a heartfelt movie about community and the evolution of society. Brad Pitt is amazing in it. And fun fact about this movie, the director originally was Steven Soderbergh. He was going to direct this movie. And Sony and Brad Pitt were like, we don't like the way we're going. They fire him and bring in this director named Brad Miller, and we get Moneyball. Jonah Hill saying, guess what, guys? I'm not that fat kid from Superbad. Watch me act in a dramatic role. Phenomenal in his role.
I've heard this is his best movie.
It's either this or Wolf of Wall Street. It's one of his best roles. I love the scene where they talk. They're in the old scout room, and these scouts that have been in the game for, you know, 40 years. Like, we do this business a certain way, Billy, and he just keeps looking at Jonah Hill's character and says, he kept saying, what do we want? He gets on base. Guys, there's the haves and have-nots of baseball. The haves are up here. And then there's 50 layers of shit. And then there's us. We can't keep doing it the same way. We need to change. And it was a great scene. Then him and the lead scout get into an argument. And the lead scout, like, grabs him. And he said, don't touch me. And he gets a little physical. And he's like, now I'm going to fire you. So it got a little spicy. And then him and my favorite character is based on a real person. His name is Ron Washington. So they go to this dude's, his name is Scott Hatterberg. They take Ron Washington and they tell Hatterberg, you're not going to catch anymore. Your arm's busted. You're going to play first base. And then Hatterberg's like, can I play first base? He's like, and then Billy Beane, who's played by, what's his face? Brad Pitt's like, oh, it's easy. It's very easy. Tell him, Ron. It's extremely hard. You may not even get it. And then it's like, it's hella funny. You got to see the scene. It's very funny. And then, you know, it's just a great movie all around. Him and Philip Seymour Hoffman's dynamic in the movie are dope. Uh-huh. And I love it. He trades their best player, Carlos Peña, away to force Philip Seymour Hoffman's character to actually listen. Because he's like, you're not listening and we're not winning. Listen, and we will win. And that's what happened. Adelia, your number two.
We've done my number two.
Your number one.
We're going to save my number one because we're going to do a full-on review of it, you said earlier.
Yes, my number one.
Ferris is number one.
It's Remember the Titans, baby. It's Remember the Titans, man. I've seen this movie over 40, 50 times. I can quote scenes from this film. Mm-hmm. I can quote scenes.
I've never seen it.
Oh my god!
I was gonna watch it after it became a thing with the Schmodown, and I just never have.
What is wrong with you?
I know.
We could have done a double review.
I didn't know what your number one was.
I told you, Remember the Titans.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did when we made the thumbnail.
Okay, let's be very clear. With the way that my week has gone, Ferris, I wouldn't have been able to watch it anyways.
That's a good point. But yeah, man, it's... The perfection monologue, he said, you miss a tackle, you run a mile. You miss a catch, you run a mile. You fumble my football, I will break my foot off in your John Brown hind parts. Then you'll run a mile. Perfection. Is what we're striving here, gentlemen. Strong side. Left side. It's amazing. You're killing me, Petey. You're killing me. Yeah. Oh my God. It's amazing. And then there's the first scene ever because the movie's based on integration in 1970s Northern Virginia. They loved football and they integrated the white school and the black school and they created T.C. Williams High School. And the football team was supposed to integrate. And they fired the white head coach, who's a legend. And they put the black head coach that they hired from North Carolina as the head coach. And they were basically trying to appease the race relations. And, you know, and there's a scene where Denzel comes in and Donald Faison is smiling. And he's like, so why are you smiling? I'm happy. Why are you happy? I'm going to play football. Football. What do you mean? I forgot the lines. I'm not even going to try because I don't have the lines. But yeah, it's a great movie. It's just tremendous all around. I love the movie. It's amazing.
I'll have to watch it.
Shout out to Louis Elastic. Shout out to Rev. Ronnie Bass.
Shout out to Brandy, who's joining us.
Yeah.
And laughing. Yes.
Yeah. All right, now Adelia, your number one.
My number one is very simple. It's Miracle.
Miracle.
Miracle. This is the movie 2004 about the 1980 U.S. men's Olympic hockey team that beat the Soviets, and everyone thinks won the gold medal when they beat the Soviets, but didn't. They had to also
beat Finland.
What was it, Finland?
Yes.
But Kurt Russell plays Herb Brooks, legendary American hockey coach Herb Brooks, and the scene that gets that sold this movie for me as being the best of all time is the one where they skate the Herbies, the suicides, whatever you want to call them. They made the actors actually do that. That wasn't movie magic and cut here and act like you're being sick on the ice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, Adelia. No, Adelia. Adelia's frozen. She'll be back in a bit. But yeah, Miracle. Tremendous movie. Loved it as well. I had never seen Miracle. So we're going to review Miracle in a bit if she comes back. But man, oh my God, what an amazing. Yeah, she's talking about the Herbie scene where they're running suicides on the ice. Fun fact, they actually wrote like so in the movie, they're running suicides after an exhibition game against Norway. So they just played a 3-3 draw against Norway. And Herb Brooks is not happy about the game. And he sends them back on the ice. And he's telling them to run the suicides. And after a game, they just played a game. They just played a game. And they completely ran them to the ground. And the tremendous scene shows character and grit and power and panache. And it's amazing. And I loved every minute of it. My favorite thing at the end of it, it's get on the line. The guy who plays assistant coach Craig Patrick, he's a little uncomfortable. The doctor was uncomfortable. And then they get on the line. So he got back on the line. And the captain, Mike Rizzoni, he says, Mike Rizzoni. Rizzoni. He's like, Mike Rizzoni, Winthrop, Massachusetts. And Herb Brooks is like, who do you play for? I play for the United States of America. And then that's when it all clicked. That's when it all clicked. And it was tremendous. It was completely tremendous. But that wasn't my favorite scene. My favorite, actually, the good part of it was they add some person towards the end of the training camp. And The leadership committee basically said, hey, yo, Herb, what's up with this? It's a little too late, man. Like, why are you adding people? Like, what's going on? And he's talking about how this kid he just added from the University of Minnesota is going to help them win. And he's like, nah, that's not how we doing things. And then he's like, oh, tell me what you really feel. Tell me what you afraid to get cut. He's like, yeah, of course I'm afraid to get cut. Everyone's afraid to get cut. Like, what's up with that, Herb? He's like, wow, what's so different? What's so different now? And one of them says, you know why it's so different? Because we're a family. And everyone's like, whoa. Family? Yeah, we're a family. And then he got serious. Because they've been through hell together. They've been through the ringer. And they weren't just gonna let some outsider that just showed up join the family after he hadn't endured hell. He hadn't endured the Herbies after a game. He hadn't endured Herb Brooks yelling at them constantly. You are not a part of it. You know what I mean? And it showed them a team is coming about. A team is coming about. What I also liked about this, right? So it was in the 80s, right? So they used a lot of the 80s politics and the 80s background of it. Soviet Union. They actually brought up the Islamic Revolution in Iran that happened in the 80s. The threatening of not going to the Olympics in 84. And then if the Russians are going to do the same thing in 80, The Russians didn't. They said, we're going to come to your town and beat you on your home soil, and we'll see what's up. And, you know, then what happened in 1984, Jimmy Carter barred the U.S. teams from going to the Olympics. Famously, the 1984 basketball team was supposed to be the best team that never got to see a chance to win gold. But, you know, it is what it is. And the guys of the 80s. Shout out to Kurt Russell. The man had gravitas. Love every minute of him. I love me some Kurt Russell. He's amazing. And you got the kids playing. You got the kids playing the kids. Shout out to Nathan West, who also played Q in Forever Strong, the rugby movie. He played, I believe, McClendon. So, Adelia, you're back.
I hate my internet.
It's fine. It's perfectly fine. So, Adelia, why do you like Miracle? What strung it to you? Are you a big fan of Kurt Russell? I know you love hockey. What's going on?
I watched this movie because it was a hockey movie.
Mm-hmm.
I watched this at a pretty difficult time of my life where I literally watched this movie every single day. Mm-hmm. And I mean that every single day for probably 4 months straight. Just because it's a good comfort movie. It's got a mm-hmm. nice ending. There's not a ton of drama in it, but there is drama in it, obviously. It's mm-hmm. a sports movie. There's always drama in sports. But there's not people dying and shit like that. I love Kurt Russell's performance. I knew the Miracle on Ice story, obviously. Mm-hmm. I didn't know necessarily all the details of it, and mm-hmm. I don't think we necessarily got all the details of it here. I was saying before, and I don't know if you heard any of it, the Herbies scene, the suicides, mm-hmm. whatever, that's the scene that really got me, because they made them actually do it. The actors mm-hmm. It wasn't movie magic or anything like that. They actually skated those suicides, the Herbies. And I don't know, man, just something about this story just hit me at the right time in my life. And it's my favorite sports movie. I could watch it any day of the week. I haven't actually watched it in a while because I just haven't been in that mood to watch a sports movie. But I have it on DVD. I have it on Blu-ray. I have multiple copies of it. Mm-hmm. And I guess maybe it was... Did this movie come out before Herb Brooks died in the car accident? I think it did. I think he was the coach in Pittsburgh.
No, it was after.
It was after he came out. It came out after.
So he died. Well, so at the end of the movie, they dedicated. He died during principal photography.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So he died during the production of the movie.
Yeah, that's when I first really heard about Herb Brooks' story mm-hmm. and everything. Like, I knew the Miracle on Ice. Like, you grow up and you are a sports fan in America. You know the.
Do you believe in miracles?
Believe in miracles? Yes.
Yes. Al Michaels
is one of the most iconic sports calls in history.
Al Michaels has been living off of that for years.
He has.
Yeah.
But Herb Brooks. I first knew Herb Brooks as mm-hmm. the coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins. He had a good career as a coach. And I thought
Coach Mario Lemieux.
I don't know if he coached Lemieux. No. He might have. When Lemieux returned from retirement, he might have. I don't know that for sure off the top of my head, though.
There's Mario Lemieux, Claude Giroux. Then there's Claude Lemieux.
There's also Claude Lemieux, who is the guy from the Avalanche that hit Chris Draper.
Is he related to Mario?
No.
No relation. Just the last name's Mew.
Yeah. If they are related, I don't know it, but I don't think they are.
People say if Mario Lemieux never had cancer, Wayne Gretzky ain't the GOAT.
I don't know about that, but I think it'd be a much more of a close conversation than it is now.
Yeah. Shout out to Mario Lemieux.
But yeah. Miracle first, what'd you think of it?
I quite enjoyed it. It was warm soup for the soul.
Yeah.
It was an amazing film. Starts off the same way. Coach just wants the game to be the game. Why is it bigger than the game? We're just playing hockey. You know, why you got to call them commie bastards? We're just playing. But, you know, then he realized, like, yeah, it was bigger than the game. And I liked how this movie made it seem like, yeah, this isn't... Like, with Friday Night Lights, the reason I don't have it on the list anymore, I used to have it always on my list, is that they lie towards the end. And it's not even dramatization. It's just straight up lying. You're straight up lying. Dallas Carter didn't like the portrayal of the kids in the movie. They made them every stereotype in the book for black people, as well as the game against Dallas Carter in Friday Night Lights was a semifinal game in real life. It wasn't a final. It was a semifinal game.
Yeah.
That was like, and the game like was, I believe, like 12-10. It was like a defensive slugfest. But if you watch the movie, you think it was a shootout. Never happened. It just never happened.
Yeah.
But you know, creative license, I guess. But this movie, they made sure.
I think it's a little bit easier to have creative license with a high school football game in Texas than it is with the Miracle on Ice.
No, you can't. Because they used actual audio of the games from Ken Dryden and Al Michaels, which is one, amazing decision. And two, how the hell did ABC get NBC's audio? You know,
I don't think NBC did the broadcast that year.
Oh, they didn't do that?
I don't know who was the... Hang on. You talk.
Okay. Because it's a Disney production, right? So it's a Disney... So it's ABC Disney. And I want to know, like... It had to be NBC, right? I think so.
It was an ABC broadcast. That's how they
did it. Oh, that's why. Okay.
Yeah.
Al Michaels worked for ABC first. Then he got Monday Night Football. Yes, that's true. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. They had the audio. Had it all locked down in the files. Shout out to them. And what a great people should start doing that more often. Like get the actual audio calls.
Well, I mean, like, that call is so iconic. It's so iconic. They couldn't just like have some actor play Al Michaels and say that line when they I'm Al Michaels. Audio.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, you know, great decision on their part.
Yeah.
Ideally, why you left, I brought up the Herbie scene as well. That's the scene where, you know, they're like, Mike Rizzoni, Winthrop, Massachusetts. Rizzoni, Winthrop, Massachusetts. Who do you play for, son? I play for the United States of America. It was what a great scene.
This movie came out a couple of years after the Salt Lake City 2002 Winter Olympics, when the members of the 1980 team were the ones that lit the torch. And I remember watching that moment just like with chills, and I didn't know why, just based on the way they were describing how revered those guys are. And they are. If you're a hockey fan, an American hockey fan, like especially if you are from that, you know, era, you know those guys' names. They were celebrities. Many of them went on to have pretty good NHL careers. Not all of them did.
Yeah, no, I do. So you know how like every single time they always end with like where they are? A lot of them became like business investors and real estate.
Yeah, not all of them did.
Yeah. No, not all of them, but most of them did. There's like four or five people went to the NHL, and I think some of them are like became scouts.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good. Yeah. Also, too, my favorite scene of Delia is when they bring that young dude from Minnesota. Like late into the camp, and the four people, like I believe it was called probably like the leadership council, and they're basically cussing out Herb Brooks respectfully, like, "Hey man, what are you doing? Like, what is this?" And you know, Rizzoni was like, "He's like, say Rizzoni, say what you're scared of." I was like, "Yeah, I'm scared to get cut. We all are, but you can't add someone this late to the process. He hasn't been through hell with us. He's not one of us." You can't do that. He's like, why can't I do that? Why can't I? And then like the guy on the left or the right of Rizzoni says, we're family. And then everyone just like stops in the track. Like what? It's like, yeah, we're a family. We've been through hell together. You can't do that, coach. And it was a tremendous scene. And coach didn't walk away.
There's a lot of really good scenes. And Kurt Russell did really good with the Herb Brooks inspirational speeches too.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then Herb and Craig Patrick walk away. And Craig Patrick, the guy who plays Craig Patrick, says, coach, I think you got a team. So, and he's like, almost. Almost. And I was like, oh, you maniacal genius.
Herb Brooks is one of the best American coaches that there ever was for hockey. Oh. And I think that getting cut from the 1960 Olympic team really motivated him. Mm-hmm. Like it didn't keep him as a player, you know, the way that maybe he wanted to. But every hockey fan in America knows Herb Brooks's name, if you know mm-hmm. the Miracle on Ice.
Like, exactly.
He's a very special coach.
So my review of the movie, thumbs up. Thumbs up.
And obviously I agree.
All right. So Adelia, that does
Ferris,
it.
That does it. We have a special episode next week, Ferris.
Yes, possibly.
We do.
Yes.
It's our last episode before Christmas.
Yes, it is.
So we're going to be discussing our favorite Christmas movies and Christmas music.
Absolutely.
I'm excited.
I am too, because I was supposed to play Christmas music on my last radio show, but it just, mm-hmm. you know, it just didn't fit. But I was going to play some like, you know, some like different type of Christmas music, not like your typical Christmas music. Like it would have shocked some folks. So I'll bring it up on next week's show. So there's that.
Yeah.
All right. But on that note, everyone, you can find us here every Friday, 8 o'clock Pacific.
Every Friday, 8 o'clock Pacific with the Open Table. You can also find us every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific with the Rewatchers Council, our Buffy the Vampire Slayer rewatch series. We're on mm-hmm. episode 8 next week, I believe.
Mm-hmm. You can also find me. You can also find me 3 o'clock Fridays on our sports channel, Good Friends Better Hours, where we talk American football. Me and Caleb just went live.
Yeah, and you can find me every Tuesday, 3 p.m. Pacific, on the Highlights channel, talking world football, as Ferris likes to say. The English Premier League recap show with Snark starting 11. That'll be fun. Hopefully you can actually manage to be on all of those shows next week.
All right. Without further ado, everyone, have a wonderful night, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye. Peace.